So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
Okay, so my sister met Steve one sunny afternoon in New York City in Central Park. She was on a park bench and she was selling some jewelry that she had handmade when he walked up to her and asked her the inevitable question that gets asked when you're an attractive 20-something in New York and you're sitting by yourself, which was, are you an actress? Now, of course, my sister was an actress because every attractive 20-year-old in New York is an actress or at least trying to break into something. So she said, yes, I'm an actress, and he started down the even more inevitable path of telling her that he was a movie producer, and that he was casting this big Hollywood feature film, and he had a part that was just perfect for her. Now, my sister was really pretty, and she kind of was dark and had long hair. She was very petite, and she had this way about her that made her seem kind of aloof and mysterious rather than shy and insecure, which is what she really was. So he told her, you know, if you just come with me, I know this sounds too good to be true, but, you know, if we could get away somewhere, away from the park, you know, maybe somewhere we could be alone, I could show you that what I'm saying is legitimate. You know, he had not wanted to cast some Hollywood movie star. He wanted to cast an unknown. He wanted to cast somebody that he could bring to Hollywood and would blow everyone away. So she took his card. Now that night, sitting in our super shitty little one-bedroom apartment in Midtown Manhattan, she showed me the card, and she's like, what should I do? Should I call him? Like, she was kind of reluctant and a little freaked out, but it was like, you know, what if he's the real thing? You know, what if? So we decided, yeah, she should probably call him, and maybe under one condition that I, her little sister, get to come with her. So we call up and ask, and of course it's fine. And about 6 hours later, a big, long, one of those black town cars pulls up to our apartment, and we're shuttled 30 blocks up and over to this man's Upper East Side penthouse. Now, from the moment we stepped into the foyer and into Steve's world, he was just like gushing with welcome. It was like, oh, hello, oh, I'm so glad you could make it. Oh, it's so good to see you. Oh, welcome to my home. And then almost immediately thereafter, he started talking about the way that I looked. Oh, you're 21? Oh, you're blonde, tall. Oh, Sunny, nothing like your sister, like the opposite. Sisters, can you imagine? Wow, this is amazing. So he starts telling us about the movie and everything, and then all of a sudden, without even an acknowledgement of the drastic casting shift, the part that he had said was for my sister suddenly turned into two parts. Why, oh yes, yes, one for each of you. Isn't that amazing? Now, Steve he wasn't good looking, but he was like tall and he kind of had shaggy brown hair that was sort of, you know, sort of graying, and it was thinning a little bit, but not really. And, you know, everything he said, he kind of enunciated with these grand hand gestures, you know, like everything was amazing. And he started showing us around his apartment to kind of prove that he was legitimate, right? So like, here's my daughter's bedroom, and she's in college, and these are her toys lined up on the shelf, and, you know, oh, here's the original Picasso over the couch, and, you know, here's the skyline of Manhattan. It's like 20 stories up, so of course it's gorgeous. And then he takes us into the kitchen, and he opens his refrigerator, and there's like all these insulin vials in there, and he's like, oh, this is for my type 2 diabetes. Like, I'm a normal guy. And so then he whips out the piece de resistance, which is like his college alumni magazine, and there's a big photograph of him and a very famous aging moving star and the racehorse that they own together, so thus his foot in the door of La La Land. So he starts telling us that, yes, there are these parts for us. It's going to be amazing. These amazing characters for us. And he starts telling us a little bit more about the role. They would be two sisters, you know, two sisters who are in this movie, and their whole point is to have this male lead that they dominate, right? Like, so that, you know, they become the dominance to the submissive. And it's really going to be this great movie, and it's going to be this blockbuster, it's going to be this psychological thriller. But the thing is that he does not want to take us to Hollywood right away. No, he wants to train us one-on-one so that when we go to Hollywood, we won't be acting. We'll actually, like, be the people, right? And it's going to be amazing. And, you know, for training purposes, he is going to take on the male role lead in this training. And it's going to be amazing. And by the time we're done, it's going to be awesome. So, you know, we're sitting there and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, whatever. And he's like, okay, so once a week, we'll come together and we'll play these roles. And you were to dress this certain way. You're to wear your hair down and dress really plainly. You're to wear a short skirt with no underwear. But when you sit down, your legs will be spread, but the skirt will just be pulled up halfway, you know, for modesty, right? And so we would sit there, and at certain points, we would lean him over our lap, and we would spank him, right? And he would submit to us. Now, in doing this, as he became more and more submissive to us, we could ask him for things like money, jewelry. He would start paying our rent, like $400 a month. It was like, oh my God, he's gonna pay our rent to spank him. And, you know, it was like, okay, great. And, you know, and as we got more and more, as we more and more submissed him, we could ask him for more and more things. Now, he's sitting there and he's like, you know, I'll need you to call me your dirty little boy. And he's like, he looks at me and he's like, okay, you know, I want you to look at me and I'm gonna have my pants off, because, you know, that's necessary to have my pants off. And you're gonna grab my balls and you're gonna say, you're my dirty little boy. Say it, right? Say it. And so I'm sitting there, and like this whole night I have not looked at my sister at all because I'm mortified. And like, I sort of look over at her and I'm like, what the fuck do I do? I mean, we're like, we are right off of the bus, right? I mean, we are like, we haven't even been in New York a year. We're these like small town Southern girls. I mean, we're like literal babies. We're babies. And he's like, this man's like, say it, say it. So I'm like, oh, you're my dirty little boy. You know, I'm trying to act like I'm not totally horrified and completely freaked out. And he's like, good, good, good. And so then he starts to tell us that this is how it's going to go down. We're going to practice like this at his apartment for a few months. And then at the end of that time, he's going to take us on a vacation to somewhere exotic. And we're going to play these roles in public in front of other people. And then and only then, when we've proven ourselves in front of a live audience, is he going to take us and present us to Hollywood. And he said, this is not about sex. There will be no sex involved. This is about making you and your sister both movie stars beyond your wildest dreams. So he walks us to the door, and when we get there, he makes us both hug him. And he says, now you're gonna call me, right? I mean, don't make me wait. I'm going to LA for a few days, but I want an answer before I get back, you know? Otherwise, I'm gonna have to cast some other girls. I mean, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And we're like, okay, so we get on the elevator and we don't say anything to each other, and the door closes and his face kind of disappears. And I was actually sort of thinking maybe he had like a bug in the elevator or a camera and he was filming us, so we just kind of stood there and didn't say anything. And as soon as we got out to the street, my sister and I looked at each other and almost in unison said, you can never tell mom we're gonna do this. So that night, we stayed up, right? And we stayed up, and we were talking, and it was like, we can do this, right? Yeah, yeah, we can go in there. Like, we don't have to have sex with him, right? He said that. This wasn't about sex. I mean, he was gonna make us movie stars. You know, we could just go in there and pretend, and like, we just wouldn't let him get under our skin, right? We can make fun of him when he turned around, right? We could do it, right? We could get the rent paid, and who knows what else? Oh God, it'll be awesome. And kind of as the night wore on, it was like, huh, you know, I think I sort of realized that, you know, even if I was an actress, I don't think I would be able to play the part of a dominant too much anyway. And I didn't really think that I was like emotionally prepared for the kind of baggage that would come with this. And, you know, I think probably by the time we went to bed, it was kind of obvious that there was no Hollywood movie on the other side of this guy's balls. So a couple of weeks went by, and he kept calling us like every other day. He would call and say, oh, where's your answer? I really need your answer. I want to know what's going on. And we didn't pick up. He would leave these long messages, and each one would get like creepier and more virile, and he'd get more hostile, until finally there was like so much venom in his voice that we just completely stopped listening to the messages altogether. We never did call him back, but you know, in today's day and age with Me Too and everything, it really makes me wonder and worry about the girls who did. Thank you.